Welcome to podcast number 76, the first of the new year for the Security Box. I'm Jared Reimer, and on this program today, it was just me, and that's okay. I know I had someone at the beginning, and as I ended the program, somebody was on the server, and that's okay. Maybe people came and went as I was discussing a very interesting article talking about advertisers who are sucking up data on children through applications, even though there was legal action taken earlier. I did cover some of the news that was blogged on the blog since we last spoke to you, and played a couple of tracks as well. I hope that you enjoy the program as much as I have bringing it together for you, and we will have plenty more next time. Till then, thanks so much for listening to the podcasted edition, which was broadcasted on 98.6 The Mix and through Clubhouse on Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. Happy New Year, everybody. Let's see where my customer list is while I'm waiting for potential customers. Welcome to Jared's shop. May I take your order for a username and password? The sign says Jared's shop. It said nothing about usernames and passwords. Yes, sir. Usernames, passwords, credit card information, all sorts of breach data. You name it, you've got it. Here at Jared's shop. Well, that sounds lovely, but I really only wanted to pick up a USB drive. Well, sorry, sir, but the USB drives come with all sorts of data, all for sale right here, right now. At the asking price of at least $100. Well, USB drives start at least at $10. I need a USB drive so that I can store some data on it of my own, such as audiobook files from the library, maybe some backups of some other stuff. And if need be, I'd like to be able to send some stuff to some people, and they only have the capacity of receiving them through flash drives. So I need blank ones. Well, sorry, sir, but we don't have any blank flash drives here. If we did, whatever you wanted from usernames, passwords, and more can be put on these drives, but at a premium cost. Sorry, sir, I'm not interested in that. I'll just have to find another shop.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Security Box.
The Security Box with Jerry Reimer on KKNX.
98.6 The Mix's independent channel. I'm Jared Reimer. Welcome to program number 76, where today we're titling this "Advertisers Sucking Up Student Data." And it's a big deal. I mean, I really try not to collect any data that is not necessary for the job at hand. And if you're listening to this, or you come in on the replay and you're listening to this, you'll see that I've pinned an article, which I'm going to give the title of in a little bit. And it's also now blogged on my blog at jaredtech.help, and it'll be reposted when we do the show notes for the podcast. Now, I know Preston has wanted to make an appearance, and I know that he was talking to us about starting a new job, so hopefully that job is going to go well for you, Preston, and I know that if you're able to make it, you can. And the person that normally assists me still is unable to do so. Hopefully that'll change soon, but in the meantime, I will do the best I can. So if you raise your hand and you're not getting a response, do text and let me know through email, iMessage, JaredReimer at 986themix.com. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. If you have me on another platform, let me know who you are in the room, and we'll do that. I see I don't have any other people in here at the moment, but that could change. So let's get started with our topic, because this is going to be the first topic of 2022, and I think it's actually a big deal, because as I was saying, I don't want to collect data that is unnecessary. So our first topic for 2022, I thought we'd discuss an article that may have implications in the future as advertisers are not supposedly doing what they're supposed to do. You know, we don't know how old these children are, and there are laws in regards to what we can collect from students, whether they are children or teenagers. Well, they're technically all children under the definition of what an adult is, which is 18 and older, but for lack of purposes, we're going to say that children are under 18, whether they meet the definition of COPPA, which is the United States law, and it's known as other names in other parts of the country. And so, that is that. So, the article title which is actually also pinned in the room. So if you find this on the replays, you will find a pinned link, and it's called "Advertisers Are Sucking Up Student Data Even After Legal Action, Researchers Say." And I'm going to use the notes for talking points, and if you are on Clubhouse and you would like to participate, you raise your hand, and then I will make it so that you're also on air. So Clubhouse is not on the air right now because I don't have anybody here. So that is that. And for those who are unaware, the Jared Reimer Network Club is the club that will be sponsoring this room. And so that is what's going on. So, when I first read this article, you'd probably think that you would know what my response would be. And I thought the famous quote, "You've got to be kidding me," which is the friendly version, or as sometimes we do, we would say, "You've got to be fucking kidding me." So in the show notes, I didn't write it that way because I want to try and be as clean as possible where we can, and I know there might be some F-bombs and things of that sort, and I'm not overly concerned because people listening to podcasts know that there's going to be times where we're going to want to swear a little bit, and so I don't call that adult in nature. If there was heavy content of specific things, then I would put the notation. So, the first paragraph says, quote, "Hundreds of advertisers are collecting valuable student data from a service that allows schools to add sports data to their informational app for students, researchers at the Me Too B Alliance found." And I write after the quote, which ends the paragraph, that there is a link to the Me Too B, so feel free to take a look. I didn't look. I just read the opening paragraph and it said link Me Too B. That's M-E, the number 2-B. And so maybe it links to the research, maybe it links to them directly. I'm not completely sure on that. But as I said, we're going to be taking some paragraphs to help guide the conversation. And even if I don't have anybody who wants to participate live, you can always email or iMessage me. And if you're listening via the podcast through the technology blog, you can also email or iMessage tech@menv.org. That's T-E-C-H at M-E-N-V-I.org. And so, Chase is the obvious choice. Bengals Jamar is the NFL's best defensive rookie by a landslide. It would be a voter failure if he didn't win or own Jason Owens. The first quoted paragraph says, "The new findings build on previous research from the nonprofit that found the majority of sampled school apps were sharing data with advertising software Kits. Alright, so that's prior. The paragraph continues, this time researchers examined web traffic originating from links embedded directly into the customized school apps using a utility called WebView. So I don't know what this WebView is. I know that it could possibly be similar to how Club Deck works, at least in Windows, where you have to use the web interface keys, like H for headings with a screen reader, to be able to navigate the app and allow you to navigate and press enter on the profiles, which are links. So if there were other users in here, like Sailor, one of our DJs on the mix was actually in here as we were getting started, and I happened to mention what we were going to talk about. If he was still here, there would be a graphic of that would say his name, and then underneath there would be a link that would also say his name. And pressing enter on it opens up another screen where I could view his profile. And I could even do that on my own name if I want to here. But that's sort of what the web view is talking about in regards to this. And so that would actually make it more accessible for using services like Blackboard, which I never heard of until one of my customers asked me to assist with something with it, and that was in the early days when they were going to college and before they moved outside of the United States, at least the 50 United States. I'm not saying where they are, and I don't even know if they're still there now, but there have been improvements since then in regards to this ordeal. There's actually a quote now as we continue from the quoted paragraph material. These are taxpayer-funded school utility apps that have integrated some of the most aggressive advertising chains you can think of, said Zach Edwards, one of the report's researchers. The WebView software gives developers a way to allow users to open links within an app instead of a separate web browser. The process makes it easier for developers to include content in their apps, but harder for users to control privacy settings. So, this could be a problem, because you could click on a link that you have no control that it's there, and you could, in theory, get targeted, right? With something you're not even expecting. If that's how I understand this to work. I don't know how this works. I've never seen anything like this. I read the article and I thought it would be a good topic. Because people who use services like Blackboard, which was mentioned in the article, might have some idea of what's going on if they've seen this. Now, I'm going to be cautious to say that Blackboard would probably not want something like this. And if they found out that their app had this, they would want to do something about it. But I'm not completely sure. WebView itself doesn't expose data, but it serves as a conduit to websites that collect it, says another paragraph. And I skipped some of the paragraphs, but I have other things that might be of interest to add to this discussion. And again, I'm being neutral because I don't really understand all of this, and I don't know if people have seen this, which is why I want to bring this up, because if you haven't, you might want to be paying attention and learn what's out there. And of course, the pinned link is in the room. It's on the blog, and it's also going to be in the show notes. Tracking down the data being shared by schools with educational technology companies has become so difficult and time-consuming that in July, a group of 14 parents from 9 states, the article says, organized by SDPP, filed complaints with the U.S. Department of Education over vendor practices. I don't know what the SDPP stands for. It didn't say in the article. A main source of the traffic to advertisers, a researcher found, was an application called MaxPress. MaxPreps. P-R-E-P-S. And the M and the P are capitalized. Which is owned by Viacom CBS. Now, you probably have heard of Viacom. Viacom owned a bunch of TV channels, I believe. And I don't believe they've been in the news, so I don't think they're a bad company by practice. And so this is definitely something new that is coming out that this company is doing. And if you've seen websites, they're probably full of ads, and I've never clicked on the ads. I went to like CBS or something and read something, but I would never click on ads anyway. While MaxPreps markets itself as a way to track high school sports, researchers noted some school systems it lists cover kindergartners. Well, let's see. It says it lists covers kindergarten through grade 12. So basically kindergarten through high school. So it covers everybody. The behavior would seemingly put the company at risk of collecting data from users under 13 without parental permission, which is a violation of the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, and more certainly children under 16, which is the age of protection under California's privacy law. Now, we did a whole podcast on this program, which is available through RSS at technology.jaredreimer.net/audio. And you'll want to learn about COPPA, COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. We covered it because, at least I believe we have anyway. I can go look. You could search for it too on the blog. You could use jaredtech.help to go to the blog and search COPPA. And if we haven't covered COPPA, then maybe we need to. Because I had to do a bunch of research. And that was for MenVe purposes. And MenVe is the nonprofit that I help run. So there was a really good reason why I was looking into COPPA, and I did this in 2016. Max Press starts a quote, is ostensibly a valuable tool for parents, students, school staff, and fans to follow their teams. Me to be. Alliance researchers conclude. Quote, the problem, however, is that it is a self-avowed advertising platform that provides no transparency, consent, or control for the aggressive advertising supply chains integrated into their pages and subsequently integrated into school utility apps via WebView, end quote. Viacom CBS, which owns Max Press, settled in April a class action lawsuit accusing it and 11 other companies of violating state privacy and fair business practice laws. by acing tracking software and children's gaming apps without parental knowledge or consent. Now, does this make any sense? I don't know when this took place. I don't know when the lawsuit took place because it didn't say what year. Because I saw the article in December, so I don't know if it's talking about the suit being in November of 2021. See what and 11 other companies. Let's see, where was it? In April. So I don't know if this was done in April of 2021 or a different year. It doesn't say. Let's see. Back to where we are. Max Preps. Maybe I said Max Press a few times, but it's actually Max Preps. Was not included in the suit, but MeToo B alleges that the behavior, quote, is similar, if not worse, within this subsidiary that offers free products for schools. Of course, Max Press did not comment. And this is me writing, by the way. So that ended the quoted material for the moment. But of course, this company, Max Preps, I keep calling them Max Press. Sounds much better, but Max Preps did not comment for the story. And to make things worse, OpenX settled with the FTC in the United States for $2 million over allegations it failed to comply with federal law prohibiting the collection of data from children under 13 years old without parental consent. So they were also mentioned in here. Another quoted paragraph I took says, in addition to student data collection, the report also raises concerns about, quote, dangling, quote, or expired domains embedded in the apps reviewed by MeToo B. Researchers found three of the school districts whose apps they reviewed had embedded domains that no longer belonged to the school and now redirect to malicious links, including pornography, scam offers, and other spam. As I said, this thing is pretty bad. And that's why I wanted to talk about it. Because if we don't put it out there, then nobody is going to know about the particular problem so that they can look at these apps with their children to determine what's going on with their phone. I believe these are phone apps. The schools removed the links after MeToBe Alliance contacted their app host provider, Blackboard. So Blackboard removed those links, but they really don't have any way of knowing. Still, the existence of such domains represents a cybersecurity threat, says Edwards. Hackers could hypothetically use the domains to pose as schools to run business email compromise schemes, and I put that in italics myself, or cybercrimes. And that's the end of that quoted section. So they could do a bunch of stuff. And if these are apps on children's phones, because the teachers say you need to install this app because we use Blackboard, and Blackboard has this app and this is how it works, then we're in trouble. Now, as I said, I worked with somebody with Blackboard on the web many, 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 many years ago. I know Herbie has used Blackboard recently, but I definitely don't know about this app or these types of apps. I don't know how good this would be, but a paragraph says, quote, the MeToBe Alliance recommends that school administrators receive training on the risks of embedding URLs in apps, and that schools should have a plan in place to track links in the case they expire. Now, I like that idea, but this assumes that people are trained to do such things to begin with. You can't expect somebody who's never been trained in such things to train people to go ahead and, you know, continually click on these links and, oh, that's ours, but we don't run it anymore, and then have to figure out how to notify the appropriate people, whether it's Blackboard or the person who wrote the app, to remove it. I don't know how all this works. And that's why, again, I wanted to bring this up, because you don't want to be tracking things you're not supposed to. That is definitely something that I would have a problem with. And there's more, including other linked material, so I suggest if you want to read the entire article that you take a look at it. And I want everybody to be safe with their apps, because if you're app you're using with something like Blackboard is pulling crap like that without you knowing, and you find out about it, I would hope that you'd be saying, I'm not using this anymore, and you'd be probably switching to the web interface of Blackboard. T- To be fair, it didn't mention the name of the apps in that article. But I'm hoping that the information here will make its way through Clubhouse and the podcast and will allow people to hear what's going on. They can check out the article. And I would like to know if this is like a Blackboard specific app, or if this is, you know, something that integrates with Blackboard through some other place, because I'm not really sure, and it didn't really state how all this works. So I'd be curious on more if somebody happens to have knowledge of it. This is this is something that I know can affect everybody, because Blackboard, as I understand it, is used in college too. And I assume because of the pandemic, Blackboard has been used in grade school academic work, because they've already got the platform for college. And so, you know, teachers are now moving people over to that so that they can communicate with their students and grade and do what they need to do safely and healthy during these trying times. So that's the topic for today. And if people came in and went throughout the taping of the topic and they come across this and they want to let me know what they think, they can do that. They can send me an email or an iMessage at jaredrimer@986themix.com. They may text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. I have read some stuff over the holidays. And let's see what might sound interesting. As we'll go just a full hour, and then I'll close the room on Clubhouse, and then I'll play some music on the stream for a few minutes, and then we'll call it a show. Because I don't have anybody who wanted to stick around and learn today. But that's fine. So over Christmas break, T-Mobile had yet another breach. And I talked about this on Saturday on the Throwback Saturday Night program. It apparently was a smaller breach. It could be troublesome. And the SIM swapping that took place was reversed by T-Mobile, and the customers affected were notified. Information may include how many lines the customer has, among other data that could be problematic. The article in that ordeal, T-Mobile welcomed Christmas with its second data breach in less than 6 months, and they're being scrutinized because of the 149 million breach that they had 6 months ago. And we covered this on this very podcast. It was good news that it wasn't so bad, and the fact that they started notifying people quickly, but bad news that it was the second time in 6 months. The article indicates that breaches like that happen all the time, but T-Mobile's being scrutinized because of their lack of security in the biggest breach. So that problem, what does that make it? Five in 4 years, right? Or is it four in 4 years? I forget now. But I know I mentioned numbers. Like, I know they had four in 3 years. So that's five in 4 years.
Three notifications. Sports. Now. Crystal ball. NBA predictions for second half. Radio button. Non-favorite. Best title chances. Radio button. Top player traded. Deadline. Radio button.
If you were affected by the latest breach, let me know what they did for you. I'd be curious. We talked about this on Saturday too, Gatekeeper. That's like the max version of the firewall that we have on Windows, and at least my understanding of it anyway. And it got bypassed again. Might want to check that out if you're a Mac user. The question is, did LastPass get hacked or targeted? You know, LastPass is one of many password managers, and they're a company like no other, and they get targeted. And there was potentially a problem, as I was seeing tweets about it. No user data was collected, and that is what LastPass prides itself on. Even if they've got a problem, they pride themselves on making sure our data is safe. Credential stuffing was definitely involved, so that definitely means that anybody who has been breached elsewhere, they're going to try and get into your LastPass by trying those email address password combinations. That article, unusual attempted login activity, how LastPass protects you. It talks about also their password recovery process, which is unique to them. So check that out. Let's see. If you use LastPass like I do, you should check it out. Shutterfly apparently had a ransomware attack, although they claim it didn't affect their website, but it affected their internal tools and processes. If you are a subscriber of theirs, you might want to read it, because they claim that it wasn't a big deal. They say there wasn't any credit card data, but just check it out. You know, call them up, see if there's any updates. Be vigilant. Know what's going on. I talked and blogged about an article that has the timeline of the NSO group and what they had been up to starting from 2019. And so that might be of interest to some. Samsung and their app store. Didn't know they had an app store. They sell Androids, but they get people to go over to their store. What about their store? Have you had experiences with that? Because according to the article that I linked to in my own Samsung article, their store is of no good. I linked to a Sans News Bites, which I want to start doing more regularly. And of course, I linked to plenty of Log4j news that I read during the holiday. So there's definitely some items that might be of interest to you as we get this program taped. And you know, there's just a bit going on in this industry that we need to be aware of. So, I didn't get any participation on the live taping here on Clubhouse, but that's definitely okay. I'm going to end the room on Clubhouse now. And I'm going to play a couple of tracks for the podcast and call it a show. It's okay to have an hour-long show. I talked about what I wanted to. Gave you guys a little bit of news I blogged about. I would have asked people in Clubhouse what they've read during the holiday break and found of interest, but since I don't have anybody, I don't want to keep people. So for Clubhouse, thanks for participating and listening. And you can always message me on Clubhouse. I'm not afraid to get messages, but do let me know what you think. And I will see you all on Clubhouse next week with another topic. And now that we ended Clubhouse, let's go ahead and play a couple of tracks and call it a show. Here is Juicy Tootsie, or Juicy Toots, from Help I Lost My Body by Ian Underwood. It's a 2012 album. For anchor purposes, I've gone ahead and switched files, even though we're only playing a couple of more tracks. And the next one you're going to hear is Have You Heard by Industrial Soundbag from the 2011 album, The Disc Platter Spins. And we're going to play our final track, which is our normal closer, which is Queen. Another One Bites the Dust from the Greatest Hits album. Maybe people have come, you know, on and off the server. I haven't, you know, I didn't check. I was mainly looking at Clubhouse, where we did have one when we were about ready to get started, but they left. And so, you know, but if you have come and gone throughout the program, I know I see none on right now, but if you've come and gone, hopefully you've found this of interest, and the program will be up probably tomorrow. I'm not going to try and hurry up and get this out today. I do have other things I need to do today, too, so.
I dropped the heart right where I shot him.
I will catch everybody next week. I don't know what the topic's going to be, but I thought this would be a very interesting topic to put out there. Even though I don't have a lot of knowledge on it, the article was very valuable, and you can't go wrong with it.
Excellent shot. It caused 274 damage.
So,
he's under this overhang and perished by my arrow.
I will see everybody next time on another edition of the Security Box.
Oh, folks barely down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, hey. Hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Ow! Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey! Another one bites.